You're watching Notepad with me, Ibrahim Sani, in our budget 2023 special. We're going to be covering some of the issues related to the budget and perhaps some of the wish list of businesses as well as newsmakers in the country that wants to see their items being listed in the budget right now. Of course, budget is going to be presented on the 7th of October. It's going to be presented live on Esrawani with me and my colleagues, Najib Arif, Faris Ashfasna, and many more. It's going to be covering this coverage as well. In the meantime, in the studio joining us is Wan Dazrik, the CEO of Ethis, the Sharia-compliant investment ethical crowdfunding platform. Dazrik, thank you for taking the time to speak with us. The last time we met was many moons ago, I suppose, talking about some of the developments of Ethis. Maybe before we jump to the budget, we can start talking about Ethis per se. How has things been over the past few months since we last spoke?
Yes, thank you very much. I think it's been very great in terms of development, not just for Ethis, but also the market in general. I think from 2021 to 2022, I think the Security Commissions have also reported as far as the take-up for equity crowdfunding has risen to more than 70%. What that means is actually in 2021 itself, and this is during the pandemic times, I think the investment made or the fundraising made through the equity crowdfunding platform in Malaysia collectively is about 221 million ringgit Malaysia. So what that naturally means for Ethis also, we've grown. The traction has been great from both investors as well as MSMEs or businesses who are wanting to fundraise. And alhamdulillah, recently also, we have also been recognized as the best Islamic crowdfunding platform globally under the GIFA Awards, the Global Islamic Financial Awards. So it has been good, but obviously we can't be complacent. You know, there are much rooms for improvement in terms of how do we make crowdfunding currently as an alternative financing mainstream into the capital markets or funding in Malaysia.
Okay, so let's talk about that straight up, right? Because a lot of people, when they come on my show and talk about budget wish lists, we are looking at some of the items when it comes to the incentives, initiatives, tax breaks and many others. But what would be some of the ideas that you can think about outside of budget 2023 and see where the regulation improvements can happen? Perhaps some items on digital banking, perhaps some items on crowdfunding. Where do you think is most important to be addressed, not just in budget 2023, but at the policy level?
Yeah, I think there's, I guess, two parts of that question, or rather offer that I could offer in terms of viewpoints. One being, you know, take away, you know, the elements of policy, regulation, tax and stuff like that. But the crux of the matter is, I feel, is that we still lack this understanding of financial literacy. And I think that's quite important for the budget 2023 to moot fundamental issues, or rather issue akab umbi, when we speak about, you know, celik kewangan. And I guess this is not just for the youth. I think this is also for the more mature population. If you're probably aware, in Malaysia, I think we will actually become an aging population.
Country.
Yes,
yeah.
By 2030, right? And I think a lot of thoughts around, you know, savings, retirement, and stuff like that. So that is, I think, one tactical issue that we should look into in terms of how do we raise awareness broadly around financial literacy. So that's one. Yang keduanya that I would also like to touch upon, I think it's things around broadly, right, without mentioning specific initiatives, is things around maybe we should look into value-based initiatives from the budget. Because I think previously, banyak budget, I think, was crafted around output-based, you know, creating 5,000 entrepreneurs out of that entrepreneurs, how many of those are unicorns and stuff like that, which is good.
Yeah.
But I think if we are really, you know, we are really serious about building Malaysia as a superpower economy of the future, right? We should look beyond output-based, but value. So for example, out of that 5,000, how many yang kita boleh pasarkan global, for example?
Yeah.
How many of those can we invest, not just, you know, domestically, but also internationally? So I think that is something that we need to sort of strategize properly.
All right, okay, we'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Wan Dazrik of Ethis Capital. We'll be right back. Thanks for staying on with us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. I have with me Wan Dazrick of Athis joining us in the studio talking about budget 2023. Dazrick, there's plenty of items that still needs to be unpacked. Financial literacy is very key. I also understand that training is also a key focus that we talk about. It's not just about training on financial literacy, but of course training in hard skills and soft skills as well. We're seeing some notions or some swell amongst corporate players and of course business owners, folks like yourselves, wants to see more incentives being given to corporates. Perhaps a role where HRD Corp can be brought into play. Perhaps institutions like MAGIC or MDEC or MOSTI can come into play in terms of equipping Malaysians to have better skills, soft skills, hard skills and so on. Where do you feel the intensity needs to be driven at? And of course, the kinds of resources that need to be funded into. Where do you feel the line items inside Budget 2023 is important to be addressed in this regard?
I think as far as talent development goes, right, I think there's a lot of areas, and again, it's not so much so about, you know, the previous focus when I guess the budget 2022 mentioned about resiliency, right, getting to a strong economy recovery, right. I think a lot of focus, again, I've mentioned about the output base, right, so people are harping on gig economy, how to get to adoption of digitalization and so forth, right. Now, the challenge with that is actually, yes, a lot of people are in the gig economy, right? A lot of MSMEs, for example, are already installing POS and stuff like that, which is good. The next question is actually, where do we get, you know, them from there? Where do we are heading, right? So my thinking around that is probably around, it's not just so much about trainings on the hard skills, but things around soft skills, but also having the foresight in terms of where the trends, regardless whatever sector you are in, should be sort of driven towards lah. So I guess it's more, and this is not just the HRD Corps, not just, you know, Meranti and Mosti dan sebagainya, but it also has to be what I call collaborative, tri-sector collaboration between the public sector, but also private sector. Probably private sector knows more the industry, where they're heading and stuff like that. There needs to be more sort of cohesiveness in terms of what the government provides in terms of incentive, but, you know, having the market sort of validation from the private sector. So I think that's quite key in terms of how do we shape in terms of talent development in the future.
I noticed that you left out academic institutions like universities and many other training agencies. Do you feel that that's a key important to be discussed?
I think it is, but also I feel that it's not so much so about from a talent development standpoint, but rather it's more from a commercialization standpoint.
Oh, okay.
I think that's quite key because if you see Mimos, for example, right?
Yeah.
5-10 years ago, probably they already have technology that is already are using in the application today.
Yeah.
Right? If you go back 5 years back, if we have been able to commercialize those technology, potentially we are already, you know, at the forefront in the market, right? So I think there's a lot of IPs, academic research that needs to be commercialized so that it can be in the market. And I guess those products and services can be more investable, used, transactionable and stuff like that. So I think there's no lack in terms of sort of human capital ataupun solutions in the academician market, academician space. But I think if those can get to commercialization, that would actually help.
Okay. Another item that we need to look at is in terms of tax breaks for businesses. Do you feel that that's an idea that we need to explore, or the government kind of needs all the money that they can get right now in order to fund the kind of things that they want to do for budget 2023?
It's an interesting question because I think in 2022, I think you're probably aware, I think government spent around 322 billion, right? And that is the the highest ever. Right.
No, hang on. Every year is the highest ever.
Yeah, correct.
2021 highest ever.
Correct.
2020 is the highest ever.
Yes.
So guess what? 2023 is the highest ever.
Exactly. Right. So that will be interesting to see if that ever happens, right? And if that happens, then where do they get the money? And I guess that's a point you're trying to make in terms of tax break, right? I feel like there is a need, but I don't necessarily want to deep dive into what exactly was it, a corporate. Is it the rakyat tax break and employments and stuff like that? But I feel that there needs to be a good balance in terms of knowing where the tax allocation comes from, but also where does it going to spend on.
Yeah, of course, because at the end of the day, people don't know what's happened to the previous budget's spending. Is it spent? While we all know the allocation.
Yeah.
Is it tracked? Is it monitored? Is the money being used exactly where it needs to be? What about the outcome from those money that has been spent? Yes, indeed, you have spent it at the particular place, but the kind of outcome that comes out of it.
Yes.
Tracking is very important. We've seen this everywhere. Even if we give our money to our little kid's phone, we know exactly where they're spent on, right?
Yeah.
But suddenly, when it comes to 322 billion ringgit, you know, it just goes away. Yeah. I mean, you know, it just enters into the abyss.
The additional conundrum that we're facing for 2023 is that, you know, PRU 15 is coming up. And I feel that, you know, with regards to tax and getting monies and stuff like that, the balance, I feel, is going to be a bit more harder. Because most of the time, you know, if you're going into sort of GE, for example, there is an element of popularist type of initiatives that will be
make no doubt that this budget might be a bit populist rather than most.
Yes, and that's where I think the problem is. I think if the government doesn't strike a good balance in terms of how we manage short-term gains and also compromise the long-term benefit, I think it's going to be a bit tough. I think this is probably one of the most challenging, if not the challenging, drafting of the budget. You know, compounding against the backdrop of COVID-19, economic resiliencies, recovery and stuff like that. The question now is actually how do we position ourselves, Malaysia as a nation, you know, to have that solid foundation for the growth to, I guess, to the developed nation.
Okay, there's also that whole idea of GST, may not, I don't know, nobody's saying that, you know, they have a full confidence on GST being announced. As a business owner, what do you think? Do you want GST to come back?
I, in all honesty, and this is my personal opinion, I feel that GST probably a more robust tax system as opposed to SST.
You're not alone. Exactly. In fact, I'll be hard pressed to find another person saying otherwise. That's the thing.
Yes. Yeah. So truth of the matter is, I don't necessarily believe, or rather, I don't necessarily feel anything wrong with any of the regimen structure, whether it's SST, GST. The underlying problem here is actually with regards to the implementation and the execution. Yes, I think that GST should take its place, but again, you know, it's rather how optimistic that we are as not just as business owner, but everyone in Malaysia would subscribe to that.
Okay. And of course, because of that, do you feel that it's going to be introduced this time around? Entering speculative territory right now. So yes, of course.
hard question. I feel that I want to, but I don't think it will be implemented at this point of time or this time around.
Why? Political?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more on the issues that is making Wanda's ring a little bit more uncomfortable. Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Our friend here is having the time of his life on my show. His name is Wan Dazrik. He's, of course, from Ethis Capital. Let's talk about a bit about your sector specifically.
Okay. Yeah.
Not just about the crowdfunding sector and the P2P sector, but of course, financial sector outright. We've seen how this sector is inundated with players right now. We're looking at 5 new entrants of digital banks. Many of them have announced their start date. Some of them are still trying to formulate a go team together. But we're looking at competition coming in from across the place right now, not least from traditional financial institutions, but non-financial institutions are now coming to the fray. Telcos are now coming to the fray. You name it. Even Apple is in the game right now with Apple Pay being launched in Malaysia earlier this year. So yes, how do you see this sector going to shape up moving forward?
Yeah. It is interesting. I don't think anyone has a crystal ball to see what would it shape up. But I think the ambition of the digital banks, for example, is really great, right? But I think most of them might find it hard in terms of balancing, I guess, revenue and also the value proposition. And I think in Malaysia specifically, the digital bank license were given with an element of impacting society generally, to narrow the pie of the unbankables, right? And I guess a lot of them are sort of figuring out in terms of, okay, how do I balance my profitability or getting past to profitability with all of these sort of challenge in the market, right? But no doubt, I think not just for the digital banks license holder and stuff like that, but all the financial industry player, one way or another, they will get impacted. They will actually influence the ecosystem, no matter how small or big. You know, like for us, for example, we've seen more things around cybersecurity comes into the play. Right, I think not just with regards to OTP banking and stuff like that, but how we do KYC, for example, for investors as well as sort of business owners as well. So all of those actually are changing, are evolving, and I guess it's great to see in the budget also initiatives or incentives not just for business owners, but also retail investors. What I mean by retail investors, like people you and I, you know, who just want to invest. Couple of hundreds, couple of thousands, but maybe it's good also to give them some sort of incentives. And I'm not talking about the urban population. I'm talking about people in Kelantan, Pahang, Sabah, Sarawak, for example. You know, how do we get them into the investment mindset or savings mindset? And I think that will do the nation great, because I believe that the propensity to either spend or save lies within the larger M40 or even the B40. So if we are able to unlock that, I think that will help to grow the nation or the economic growth of the nation.
You know, I it's important to highlight this. The Chief Strategy Officer of EPF, Nur Hisham, argues that if you make about 4,800 ringgit, you are in T20. This is something so spectacularly misunderstood, because T20 doesn't mean that you're the richest person on the planet. It just means that you're making more than 80% of the population. Yeah. That is one fact that people tend to forget. Yeah. Having said that, some numbers shared by EPF also shows 3% of Malaysians have enough or adequate savings upon hitting 55 years old, which is, I don't remember the number, maybe you do, in terms of enough savings, to draw 2,500 ringgit for the rest of the next 25 years, hitting 75 years. So yes, Malaysians are not saving enough. Yes, Malaysians are not earning enough. At the same time, yes, 2020 is a misunderstood concept where if you make 4,800, you're in T20. So welcome to the world of new poor in Malaysia. Yes. Many needs to be solved. This is a structural issue. Perhaps it can't be solved through one particular budget, like budget 2023. But where do you feel when it comes to earnings capacity being improved amongst Malaysians right now? Perhaps can be seen in budget, perhaps it's not. But what are your thoughts on this?
I think partly will actually be seen in budget as far as the initiatives or incentivized goes. And again, it could be in the form of, you know, investment or spending, right? I don't think... I guess consumption, you know, whatever comes up with the budget initiatives, right? I think that would naturally help consumption or spending.
Yeah.
But I hope to see more in the investment space or the spending space, right? One thing I would like to touch, though, I think while we're too sort of engrossed with this thing around rakyat, economy, resiliencies and social welfare, for example, I think what would be a good area of focus, and I guess this is in terms of foresight, mid to long term, right? To have something around the element of ecology or Anthropocene.
Oh, really?
Yes, because I feel that, you know, things are happening around, you know, there's a lot of talks around ESG, sustainabilities and stuff like that. But the real fact of the matter is, you know, you see a lot of things around natural disaster, banjir and sebagainya, right? We always react on things around environment. So I think it would be good also to include things around, you know, the ecology as part of the budget agenda to ensure that, you know, we are a bit progressive, we're a bit more proactive. And all being said, right, this is also the concept of the regenerative economy, right? You've covered the people, the business, that is fundamental. You covered the social welfare, right? The social being and stuff like that. You spoke about, you know, T20s, B40s, M40s, that's great. You've covered also around the talent, the, you know, both the inside, the spirituality of side of things, growth, development, that's great. But we've seen the lack of the ecology part of it. I think if you are really serious about, you know, laying the foundations for growth, I think there need to be a look or certain incentives around environment. And I'm not just speaking about, you know, the corporate ESGs, SDGs and stuff like that, but this is on the ground type of
WWF types, yeah. That's what I'm
yes,
to say,
like
yeah.
Disaster recovery, township planning, for example, right? How do you don't go into banjir, monsoon seasons, how do you cover things around, you know, nelayan punya, you know, income generations, what kind of support you can give during the drought season, agri sector, food security, for example, right? I think there's a lot of incentives, even in government MYC, for example, if you invest in agri sector, they'll give a 1 to 2, right? Again, but this is almost from an investment standpoint, but I'm talking about a more deep rooted, you know, challenges or support that needs to be built in as part of the national agenda.
Fantastic. I'd like to end there. That was Wan Dasrik, our friend, a good friend of the show, tackling some of the harder questions that I normally pose to my friends.
Yes.
Largely because he's so scared to come. That's the reason. But here he is, giving some of the ideas. And of course, I think the big takeaway of our 30-minute conversation is that ecology aspect. I think that's something new that we haven't heard yet from our guests talking about the budget 2023. Something to look forward to, something to look at, and something to ponder and ask ourselves if it's not presented in the budget 2023. Perhaps something that needs to be crystallized even further so that future budgets can include these kind of items. We are going on with our coverage on budget 2023 on 7th of October and the days leading after that. So of course, leading before that and days that are coming preceding after that. So yes, a lot is being covered on Astro Awani when it comes to budget 2023. Stay on with us. I will be presenting the budget along with my colleague Najib Arof. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.